it's a definitely a special schus to begin the melacha of Bishul. As you know, we're going to be starting with the Yisurim D'Rabbanan relating to Bishul, and then do the Yisurim D'Oraisa. It's a little funny to do it that way, but that was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's decision. So we're going to, and also in Shulchan Aruch, so we'll follow that. It's really a new world, so I thought maybe very briefly at the beginning, before we even start, we'll go through some of the terms, and then we'll begin. So sort of a very broad overview. Most of these points that we're going to talk about right now, we will return to, but just by means of introduction. So really we're going to talk about four topics in terms of Yisurim D'Rabbanan relating to Bishul: Shehiya, Hachzara, Hanacha, and Hatmana. Shehiya and Hachzara are both pretty straightforward. Those are discussed in the Mishnah. Those are the terms used in the Gemara. There's a debate, of course, what the Mishnah is, who the author of the Mishnah is. But the terms, the concept of Shehiya, meaning to say leaving a food on the flame from before Shabbos, Hachzara is returning the flame, food to the flame on Shabbos. When we talk about the term Hanacha or Nesina L'Chatrila, so that's not actually discussed in the Mishnah, but what we mean is putting something onto the fire or the source of heat when the conditions of Hachzara aren't met. So, for example, the Gemara in Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis says that one of the conditions of Hachzara is that you not put it down on the floor, right? So Hanacha, Nesina L'Chatrila, is, are there any times when you can return the food or put the food on a source of heat even though you did put it on the floor? And that, of course, is obviously a very practical question. Under what circumstances, is there any way for me to heat up my food if it was in the refrigerator? Can I take it from the refrigerator and put it on a source of heat? How could I do that in a permissible way? That's the question of Hanacha, or Nesina L'Chatrila, or the like. And we'll get back to Hatmana in just a moment. If we ask what the reasons for these restrictions are, so again, everything we're going to talk about for the next couple of weeks, this first part, is assuming there's no shaila of Bishul D'Oraisa at all. You're not cooking anything on Shabbos. So assuming that you're not cooking anything on Shabbos, then why would any of this be aser? So we'll start with Shehiya. Whatever restrictions there are on Shehiya, and the restrictions are, of course, a debate among the Tanaim, but whatever restrictions there are, so the reason for those restrictions, more or less everybody agrees, is Gzeir Shem Yichata. That's what the Gemara says. On Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, namely, you're going to stoke the coals, and if you do so, that would be a violation of Havara. Yes? So, possibly. Rashi mentions the possibility that within Beis Shammai's restrictive view on Shehiya might be because of Mechzik Mevashel, and that possibly relates to Beis Shammai's theory about Shvisas Kelim. In other words, he could imagine there being a violation of Shehiya, even though you've put it on the flame on Mechzik Mevashel on Erev Shabbos. Whereas Ledidan, we hold like Beis Hillel, so then she is definitely because of whatever restrictions there are will be because of Gzeir Shem Yichata, that on Shabbos you will stoke the coals and be in violation of Havara. So that's going to be the straightforward one. The reason for the restrictions on Hachzara is a big machlokas rishonim, and we're going to spend a lot of time figuring that out. I don't know if we'll get to that today or not. But this is basically a machlokas rishonim. Some rishonim, the Rashi and the Ran, hold that the problem is because of Mechzik Mevashel, Rashi and Mishnah perhaps, that the concern is that when you put a food back onto the fire on Shabbos, unless you take certain precautions, it looks like you're cooking on Shabbos. Mechzik Mevashel. Other Rishonim, this is view of the Tosus, the Rosh, the Balamor, and others say the reason is because of Gzeir Hashem Yechata. Here too, there's a concern of Chitoy. Now, one of the things you're going to figure out is we're going to see that this is Aser even when you have Garfa Katum. So, obviously, they're assuming that Garfa Katum doesn't fully solve the concern of Gzeir Shem Yichata. Why that will be, we will deal with in a couple minutes when we describe what Garf Katam is. But that's an important question to figure out. Another possibility to consider is maybe there are two concerns with Hachzara. One is Chshash Chitoy. The Garf Katam would address that. And the second is Nachzik Mevashel. And to address that, you need other conditions like perhaps Oda B'yado, Daitul Hachzir, and the like. So, again, the reason for the restrictions on Hachzara is either because of Gzeir Shem Yichata or Mechzik Mevashel, or possibly there's a concern for both. Turning to the third category of Hanacha, Hanacha L'chatchila. So obviously, if you follow the Rashba, the Ran's view that Hachzara is Asar because of Mechzik Mevashel, so that's clearly going to be the reason why Hanacha or Nesin L'chatchila is Asar because of Mechzik Mevashel. An interesting question is, if you hold that Hachzar is Asar because of Gzeir Shem Yichata, is Hanacha also going to be Asar because of Gzeir Shem Yichata? That's more or less the view of Tosfos. Tosfos has just one concern in his playbook. Everything is a question of Gzeir Shem Yichata. Or no, there are some, for example, the Rush, the Baal Mor, who maintain that Hachzar is Asar because of Gzeir Shem Yichata, but Nesina L'chatchila, which is of course more restrictive, when that's Asar, it's because of Mechzik Mevashel. So those are the terms and the potential concerns, and again, the details we're going to get back to as we go on. Obviously, knowing the reasons for these concerns are important in their own rights, just to understand the Gemaras, but they're going to be especially important to us because we need to figure out modern applications of these questions, which are not going to be explicitly addressed in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. Questions like hot plates or warming drawers or the like. So based off of how we understand the restrictions that are articulated in the Gemara, the concerns are, is it Gzeir Shem Yichata? Well then, hot plate certainly wouldn't have an issue, presumably, if it has no knobs. What about Gzeir Mechzik Mevashel? So on each question, each of these new modern applications, what we're going to be doing is figuring out how the concerns of the Gemara are relevant, right? Is a blech considered Garf Katam? Does it address the issue of Gzeir Shem Yichata? Does it address the issue of Mechzik Mevashel? Well, you'll need to cover the knobs. What if you remove the knobs, right? All these questions emerge from these discussions. Now, that's with respect to Hachzara on Shabbos. Yes?
Which Tosis was...
There's a number. So the Reinu Tam says it was in Sefer Yasher, but Tosfos says it in a couple of places. One place you see it, first of all, is this next point, which is the very fact that there is a Isser of Hachzara and Erev Shabbos going to Tosfos takes for granted that the concern is Gzeir Shem Yichata. In other words, obviously, there's no concern of Mechzik Mevashel on Erev Shabbos because you're allowed to cook on Erev Shabbos. You also see it, for example, in Tosfos Lamed Ches Beis Diras Chol Mecham, and it's explicit in the Sefer HaYashar, L'Rabbeinu Tam, which is worth looking inside. The Mishnah Berurah Nishar Siyam quotes it when he discusses this. So is there an issue of Hachzar and Erev Shabbos? Now, why would you think there's an issue of Hachzar and Erev Shabbos? Obviously, presumably there's only an issue of Hachzar on Shabbos. So the answer is because there's a line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "L'divrei ha'omer machzirin, machzirin afilu b'Shabbos." According to the opinion that we're machzirin, like Beis Hillel, right? Beis Shammai doesn't allow for Hachzara, Beis Hillel does. According to Beis Hillel, you're allowed to do Hachzara even on Shabbos. So that implies that they must argue on Erev Shabbos as well, maybe even Erev Shabbos being the Ikar Machlokas. Now, Rashi does away with that diuk because he says, no, machzirin afilu b'Shabbos means afilu b'yom Shabbos. Of course there's no Isser on Erev Shabbos. That's a very dovchak interpretation, as the Rishonim note, because B'Shabbos doesn't, if it meant B'Yom Shabbos, it should say B'Yom Shabbos, not B'Shabbos. The Ran says, no, obviously B'Shabbos means Shabbos is supposed to Erev Shabbos, but this is only a Chiddush in B'Shamay, because you would have thought it's Aser Al Tshvisas Kalim, Kamash Malan. But for Beis Hillel, there's no Chiddush. There's no such thing as Isra and Erev Shabbos. But the Baal HaTosfos, the Rosh, they all hold that there is an Isra of Hafsara on Erev Shabbos as well. And what does that mean? It means that Tosfos gives two options. Either you put it on so close that there's not going to be enough time for the food to get hot once Shabbos begins, or maybe even if you put it back hot, but there wouldn't be enough time for it to get hot if it was cold, that is Aser on Erev Shabbos, unless it's Garf HaKatam. Do you need all Tanai Chazar, just Garf HaKatam? We assume just Garf HaKatam, but you have to figure out why that is. In other words, you won't need Od B'Yado or those types of things. Now, the fact that there is an Iser of Hachzar on Erev Shabbos presumably indicates that the reason for Hachzara in general is because of is not because of Mechzik Mevashel, put it that way. It's not because of Mechzik Mevashel, because there's no Mechzik Mevashel on Erev Shabbos. You're allowed to cook on Erev Shabbos. But there's still a debate actually over here as well. Why there's an Isser of Hachzar on Erev Shabbos. Tosfos says it's Gzer Shamichata B'Shabbos. In other words, if I return it to Erev, let's say it's actually cold. So if I put a cold food on my fire right before Shabbos, a minute to 5 minutes before Shabbos, I might see that it became not warming up fast enough, and I'll do Chitui on Shabbos. So Hachzar on Erev Shabbos is also because of Gzer Shamichata B'Shabbos. The Rosh has a different understanding. He says it's Aser Gzeira Shema Yachzir B'Shabbos and Kulachad Gzeira. And that's something that has to be worked on as well. It's Machlokas Beis Yosef and Bach exactly why that is. The fourth category of Iser Dirabanan relating to this topic is the issue of Hatmana. We'll have a chance to get to a little later. It's not in these first stopim of Parakira or Simon Reishon and Gimel. It's obviously very related. The Gemara talks about it at the end of the previous Parak, the end of Amadlikim, and also in Parak B'Metomnin. Now, the truth is that, we'll get back to that in one moment. I guess we'll mention it now. According to Rashi, consistently throughout our Parak, there is a connection between Shehiya and Hatmana. The simplest reading of Rashi, perhaps as the Rishonim note, is actually that Shehiya and Hatmana are the same, meaning to say that the reason why Rashi says Garf HaKatam is effective to permit Shehiya is because now it's not Hatmana B'davar Mosav Hevel anymore. Hatmana B'davar Mosav Hevel is also even on Erev Shabbos. And this solves the problem. Simple understanding of Rashi is that Shehiya is when Aser is Aser al Tatmana. It's not two separate sugyas, Iser of Shehiya and Iser Hatmana. Even Rashi isn't so pashut, maybe we'll mention that in a moment, but that's the simple reading of Rashi. And that's a point that all the Rishonim more or less reject. And they say, no, these are two separate sugyos. There's the Iser of Shehiya, there's Iser Hatmana. In a moment, we'll see that Hatmana might be Aser also because of Gzer Shemichata. So they might be Aser. Hatmana b'davar Mosav Hevel is Aser Gzer Shemichata, and she is Aser because of Gzer Shemichata. So it's two separate Isurim that might be for the same reason. They're not the same, probably because Hatmana means it has to be Mutman. It has to be enveloped or surrounded. Shehiya, it's not, it's just sitting on top of the stove. It's not, there's no Hatmana. And moreover, she is going to be Mutter, even though it's Mosav Hevel. For example, even if the purpose of Garf HaKatam is to reduce the heat. But it's still Mosif Hevel, and that's why, let's say, Grifa or Ktima, I guess more likely Ktima, wouldn't necessarily help to permit Hatmana. So the majority of Rishonim assume that these are two separate sugyos. So, Yehoshua.
When the summary of Rashi, every isegis of Shehiya is Hatmana, or every isegis of Hatmana is Shehiya?
Well, the iser of Shehiya, that is when she is Aser, it's Aser Alts the Isser of Hatmana.
Even on top of the stuff, even it's Garf.
Well, no, she is Mutter when it's Garfakatam, and that's because.
Even Shammai, if it's Asser, even when it's not, even when it's Garfakatam.
Yeah.
It's Hatmana?
Presumably. And not only that, but even, it's not just Rashi's, the truth is. Take a look at the Tosfos at the beginning of Bamet Tomnim. You'll see that the Beis Yosef in Rishon and Gimel does refer to this. But if you just look at the beginning of that Tosfos, Bamet Tomnim, right, so the mission over here, Mem Zainer Beth, tells you when could you do Atmana, when can you do Atmana. Pirash Harav Reb Yosef B'Shem Rabbeinu Shmuel, Demar Reb Bashev Alo Bashil. Avogzer Chaisa, Uvashil Sharinan B'Perkama. In other words, what's Rabbeinu Shmuel saying? When we have Heterim because that things that permit Shehiyah, one such thing, as we'll see in a moment, is Keder Chaisa. So that's also Matir Hatmana. Why is Keder Chaisa Matir Shehiyah? Because since it's not going to get cooked till, again, the details of all these things we're going to get back to, but basic idea is since it's not going to get cooked till tomorrow, your Mesiach Das, and it'll be cooked without Chitoy by tomorrow anyway, so there's no Chash Chitoy, right? So what's Rabbeinu Shmuel saying? He's saying along the lines of the Zayde, that since there's no issue, I know that from your chart, since there's no concern with obvious, since Kser Chaisa is a heter for Shehiya, so Mestama, it will also matir any concerns with Hatmana. Now, this is a slightly different possibility. This is saying they're related, not necessarily identical. In other words, something that overcomes the problems of Shehiya, like Kser Chaisa, will also overcome the problems of Hatmana. And to this, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Yesh l'chalik ben hashal Hatmana. So, the truth is there might be views that are in between the two extremes. But just again, the basic sources for Hatmana. So, there's two types of Hatmana with two different halachos. There's Hatmana b'davar hamosef hevel and Hatmana b'davar she'enu mosef hevel. Hatmana b'davar mosef hevel is also even on Erev Shabbos. Hatmana b'davar she'enu mosef hevel is mutter on Erev Shabbos, not on Shabbos. In other words, let's say if on Erev Shabbos I want to wrap up my chicken soup to stay warm in blankets or the like, even though I totally wrap it up in a blanket, that's fine. It's Eino Mosef Hevel. It preserves the heat to some degree, but it doesn't add heat, so that's going to be mutter. Whereas if you're going to be Matman B'davar HaMosef Hevel, that's also even on Erev Shabbos. Don't ask me about the science of how these things, some of these things are Mosef Hevel, I don't know. But again, so we have these two categories. So why is it that you can't be Matmin B'davar She'enu Mosef Hevel on Shabbos? And others, on Shabbos, I can't take my chicken soup and wrap it up in blankets. That's Aser. So why is that? So the Gemara asks this question on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, and it answers, Gzeira Shema Yartiach. What does Gzeira Shema Yartiach mean? Rashi explains, Gzeira Shema Yimtzak Deraso Shenet Stanina K'sheyirtza Latmina. You know, when you're ready to envelop your chicken soup in your blanket, you'll find that it's cooled off. You were hoping that it was still going to be piping hot, but you found that even though it's only 20, 30 minutes into Shabbos, it's cooled off. Aviyarti chena tchila v'nimtza mevashel b'Shabbos, and you'll heat it up, and you'll be mevashel on Shabbos. Agav, you see from that Rashi, the Gaon points out that yesh bishel achar bishel b'davar lach. That's going to be for the next part of our limud, but the Gemara says more or less ein bishel. The Mishnah says ein bishel achar bishel and yavesh. This Rashi indicates, and maybe even the Gemara indicates, that yesh bishel achar bishel b'davar lach. The Gaon, I'm only mentioning that now because it's the Gaon in Rishon and Gimel, proves from this Gemara that yesh bishel achar bishel b'davar lach, which of course is in Machlokas Rishonim. Then the Gemara asks, okay, so why can't you do hatmana b'davar hamosef hevel on Erev Shabbos? The Gemara gives a different answer. Gzei reshema yatmin b'remetz sheyesh b'gecholim. Concern that if I do something that's mosef hevel, I might be matmin in hot coals. only Abaye, Viatman, no, so what's wrong with that? You're doing it on our Shabbos. What possible concern is there? The Gemara answers, Gzeira Shama Yechata Begecholin. You might stoke the coals again on Shabbos. So this is what we said before, that the reason for the Isser Hatmana B'davar Moshef Havel is the same as the reason why you can't do Shehia when she is Aser. And that's true even if they are two totally separate Gzeros. Rashi over here says, Gzeira Shama Yechata Begecholin, this is Rashi on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, Mishach HaShecha, you're going to do Chitur Gecholim after Shabbos starts, Shabbat Levash HaKadeva Shalom Bishla Kol Tzarka, the Gazru Af Bishla Kol Tzarka, Ad Sheyigrov or Ad Sheyiktov, this is Rashi Lashitasa, right? Rashi saying that when is there an Isser of Hatmana? When you do, until you do Rifaktima, because according to Rashi, it's Hainuach, that's Shehiya, that's Hatmana. V'hachki maskinan beperakira. Right, just like Rashi on our Mishnah at Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis invokes this Gemara on Daf Lamed Dal Amud Beis, so the Gemara on Lamed Dal Amud Beis invokes the Gemara on Perkira on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, because they're the same thing. Damar Rabbi Katma Vover Amashin Allah Acham In Shochmu Mibod Yom Kol Tzarka V'Tasha Bisha Kol Tzarka. Fine. Now it's sort of interesting though, because even in this Rashi, you see, it's not so pashut, because according to Hananiah, you could do Shehiya even if it's Machal Ben Tusai, right? And Rashi over here just said, Gzei Rashem, you can't do Atmana, but Davar Moshef Havel, Gzei Rashem Yichat B'Gachalim. And he says, V'Gazru Af B'Bishla Kol Tzarko, Ad Sheyigrof O Ad Sheyiktom. So, whose opinion is that? The Rabbanan, but very strange for Rashi to be so saying gratuitously, like the Rabbanan, especially thinks Rashi thinks we pass in like Hananiah. He thinks there's a Stam Mishnah in the first parak like Hananiah. So that might indicate, this is what I was saying before, that even according to Rashi, there's a difference between Mamish Hatmana and Shehiya. They're both Aser Alts Hatmana, but when it's Mamish Hatmana, then maybe even Hananiah agrees it's going to be Aser. If it's Yosem Yimachal Ben Drusai, whereas when it's this quasi-hatmana, it won't be. So that's something to think about. A related point to this dispute between Rashi and everybody else regarding hatmana is really one that you're also going to see here in Reishon and Gimel. That's why I'm just mentioning in Hakdama, but we'll see it more ba'arichos when we do the siman on hatmana. But that's how you define hatmana. To sort of oversimplify, we have here a machlokas between the Beis Yosef and the Ramah. So even though Adam just told us that the Sfardim are very, very makel on these shailas here, the Beis Yosef say machmir. According to the Beis Yosef, even if something is basically just exposed to the heat from the bottom, again, more or less, the details will have to be worked out, that's a shaila hatmana, whereas according to the Ramah, it's only going to be a shaila hatmana if it's totally enveloped. And again, that's a dispute that you'll see referred to several times in our siman, Reishon and Gimel, even though it's going to be developed a bit later. Okay, so ad kan, the hakdama of the terms, terminology, and now let's actually start. So, let's start with Shehiya. She is a good place to start. So, as we mentioned before, the Gemara in Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis tells us that the reason for the Isser is Zera Shama Yechata B'Gachal. The Gemara over there says Lo Tamale Isha Kedera Asathios V'Turmasin V'Taniach L'Tocha Tanur Ere Shabbosim Chashecha Zera Shama Yechata B'Gachal. That's why basically all the Rishonim say it's Aser because Zera Shama Yechata. Perhaps one possibility within Beis Shammai, not that way, but for our purposes, that's going to be the accepted reason. The Gemara, though, the Mishnah, I guess, concludes, our Mishnah says that if you are you do grifa v'ketima, grifa is removing the holes, ketima is covering the coals, let's say with something like ashes, then it's okay. And the point being that that removes the chshash of chitoy. Now, there's a big debate, as you saw in the Gemara, how you read the Mishnah. Yibay lohu, hayo yitin lo yasirhu, Afalishos mashin af al pi shenugarf venukatam, umani chananyahi. Odil malishos tanan v'igar v'katam in ilo lo v'kol shken l'aster. So two possible readings of the Mishnah. The first possible reading of the Mishnah is that when it says lo yitain, it doesn't really mean lo yitain, it actually means lo yachsir. And why? Because she is mutter as long as it's machal ben drusai. You don't need grief of timah. It's machal ben drusai, it's mutter to do shehiya. And then the Mishnah would be in accordance with Chananya. Obviously, that's a very dochak reading of the Mishnah. I shouldn't say obvious. Tosus points out, it's a very dochak reading of the Mishnah. And he says, why in the world is the Gemara like kvetching to shtup this problematic reading of the Mishnah? This is an indication that, or at least a reflection of the fact that we paskin like Chananya. Since we paskin like Chananya, we'd like to make our Mishnah like Chananya. We would rather not have a stam Mishnah. Again, it's not impossible because the first the stam Mishnah like Chananya anyway in the first parak, but it would be our preference to try to make the Mishnah aliba dehelchasa, and right exactly that topic again. So that's sort of why we are trying to shtup Chananya into our Mishnah. The other option, though, a simple reading of the Mishnah presumably is that the Mishnah is lishos tanan, like it says. And according to that opinion, we'll call it the Chachamim. According to that opinion, the Chachamim, then Shehi is Aser, even if it is Machal ben Drusai, even the Gemara will conclude if it's Mevoshel kol Tzarko and Mitzdamek v'yathilo. It would be mutter to do shi if it's not, if it's mistamik viralo, because in that case there's obviously no concern that you'll be machata. We should, of course, define these terms, and again, these are terms also we'll have a chance to elaborate upon more as we go through the sugya. There's a machlokas what machal ben drusai is. Is it a third or a half? But the basic idea is it means food which is barely edible. Drusai was a ganef who had to eat on the run, didn't have time to let his food cook. And so Machal ben Drusai is relevant on a d'oraisa level in terms of when one is going to be chayiv misha mevashel. And it's also relevant here on this d'rabbanan level in terms of when she is mutter, according to Chananya. The question of the definition of bittul is going to come up a lot in the second half of this sugya, though it's going to come up here as well in terms of whether we know you're chayev for machal ben drusai if you go from ra to machal ben drusai. What if you go from machal ben drusai to mevoshel kol tzarko? And that's a shaila, as the chevra in the kolel knows, in terms of hilchos bishul akum and the like. And obviously, one of the things we're going to talk a lot about, though again in the second half of bishul, is the connection between the definitions of Bishul in terms of other Tchumen and Halacha, like Bishul Akum. We talked about it last year in terms of Bas B'Chalav and Halachos Shabbos. Yes?
Why are we defining this by one person, not a rov?
So, it's a good point. It would seem that, again, when it comes to the Deraisa Shaila, we'll have to go back to that, and we have to figure out, is this like the regular shir, like other shirim, halacha moshe Sinai, or no, there's a svara. Svara is that if it's edible, the pshat is that it's edible for everybody, or most people. Just most people don't eat food when it's edible, they wait for it to be good. That's mefoshel kol tzarko. What Drusai was the only Meshuggah who ate it when it was barely edible. Everybody else would agree that something significant has been accomplished when it reaches that level. Namely, it's edible. It's gone from a state of inedibility to edibility. It's been transformed.
Right. Because this thief had to eat it on the run?
The fact that a thief on the run, or anybody on the run, anybody in a big rush would eat it now, shows that it's edible. Now, you don't eat food when it's barely edible. You wait. Normal person would wait until it's fully cooked. But the fact that The reason why that's the sheer chiyuv is not because a Meshugana ate his food that way. It's because the fact that the Meshugana ate the food that way shows that it's edible, and that's the significant transformation. Now, we did refer to the terms also of Mitzdamek, Biyachal, and Ralo. Again, terms we'll get back to. But presumably the basic idea over here is that Mitzdamek, Biyachal means further cooking makes it better. Now, if it makes it better, so then you'll say, then maybe that's Mevushal Kol Tzarko. Answer is no. You would consider this fully cooked, even though further cooking it improves the taste, right? You know, chalent after 4 hours, let's say, is certainly Mevushal Kol Tzarko. You could eat it. It's not half cooked. It's fully cooked. You could eat it. But, you know, another four, five, six, 7 hours, and it gets even better. It has like a burnt-in taste or whatever it is. So certain foods, at least, you know, doesn't necessarily go on indefinitely, but certain foods, even after the Mevushal Kol Tzarko, further cooking it is going to improve it. Somebody just told me that they have this tremendous recipe for brisket. It's so soft. You just have to cook the brisket for 72 hours. It actually relates to an interesting halachic shaila, because he wanted to know if you could cook it over Shabbos for Yontif. Would it need to be gar fakato? Like, what the halachas would be on Shabbos? So, anyway, well, maybe we'll get there. But the point is that, I don't know if it takes 36, you know. I assume that well before 36 hours, it's Mevushal Kol Tzarko. I'm not sure when exactly. And the point is that from that point onwards, it's going to be Mitzdamek V'Yafalo. It's the opposite of, usually Mitzdamek V'Yafalo means like, I think like crispier and harder gets better. This apparently is softer, but presumably the same idea. Now, good. So that's the machlokas in the Gemara. How do you paskin? So it's hard to know how you paskin. Normally, I think we would say halachic rabbim. You'd expect to follow the chachamim. But the Gemara, towards the beginning of Kira, notes that there's a machlokas amoraim about this, and a number of the amoraim say no. There's a stam mishnah in the first parak that's like Chananya. It says, so that's maybe a reason to paskin like Chananya. And then there's the question, is that definitively like Chananya? We'll see the Rif and the Rambam, they paskin like the Chachamim. Are they going to be moda that they're against that Stam Mishnah? Or is there a way to read that Stam Mishnah in the first parak like their position? So this is a big debate in Rishonim. More or less, Tosfos and Rashi both hold that we are Mekel, we follow Chananya. The Rambam and the Rif seem to be Machmir. Again, there's going to be confusions in the Rif because he also paskins like that Mishnah in the first parak. And you'll see the Rishonim address how to do that. And the Rishonim also address the questions, you know, how would the Rif and the Rambam deal with that Mishnah and the like. But, you know, making the matter even more confusing is that, like, the Gemara seems to conclude that the halachas like Chananya. And then it like goes weiter with all this Shaklavitarya that seems to be Shaklavitarya Aliba, the Chachamim, which, you know, again, it could just mean, you know, we start asking questions, Shalal Aliba Delchasa. For example, the Gemara talks about what's the din by Mitznamik V'Yafilo, after already having concluded that the halacha is like Chananya. So Mitznamik V'Yafilo seems to be irrelevant for Chananya, because you're allowed to do Shehiya as long as it's Machal Bedrusai. So again, could just be we're talking about Shalali B'Delchasa. Could be that this shows you that we really follow the Chachamim, not Chananya. Or it could be telling you a very radical possibility that the Balamor says that maybe Mitzdamek V'Yathalo is relevant even according to Chananya, which is very strange, that Mitzdamek V'Yathalo is Aser to do Shehiyah, but Machal Bedrusai is Mutter. That's very hard to understand. That's what the Balamor advocates. Take a look at the Gra and the like, how to understand that. But bottom line, how do we paskin? So there's this very interesting lashon in the Rush. The Rush, it's quoted by the Beis Yosef as well, has this lashon of Hanach Lahem. So Hanach Lahem, you know, certainly the at first glance, you get the impression that it means, like, maybe really we should follow the Chachamim. But Hanach Lahem, Utav Shishogigum Valu Mezidim, you know, so there's, you know, certainly the lashon of Hanach Lahem, Utav Shishogigum Valu Mezidim basically means something is usher. We're just not going to tell people that do this to stop doing this, because that's not going to be effective. If we tell them to stop doing it, they're going to do it anyway. Now they're going to be mezidim, better to stay quiet. But then the Rush has this strange idea of Bnei Yisrael or Adukim, the Hoch Shabbos, I mean, B'Einik Shabbos. You know, what exactly does that mean? It's very interesting. You'll see in some of the Rishonim, or at least some of the Poskim, the Achronim, the Mishnah Berurah maybe, who concludes that, you know, really the halacha is it's mutter, but a person should try to be machmir. It's actually very interesting, because the Gemara itself, and maybe that's sort of based off of one understanding of Hanach Lahem, the Gemara itself, on Daf Lamed Zayin base, having, according to the Ritva, already concluded that the halacha is like Hanania, asked the Shaila Mahu Lishos. So, like, a very strange question. We just paskin that it's mutter to do Shehiyah, and then we ask, is it mutter to do Shehiyah? So the Ritva says the Gemara is asking, is there a midas chasidus to be machmir? Now that's also sort of interesting. Meichatesi lis chased, right? You know, usually after we pass on something's mutter, we don't just ask, oh, but is there a midas chasidus to be machmir? Maybe because the hachra isn't so clear. Maybe because the rabbim are machmirim. Not sure, but there's a tzad in the Gemara to be machmir, even though mikra din it's mutter, and the Gemara concludes basically, no. This is the way the Ritva reads the Gemara. No. There's no Indian there's no Indian of Midas Chasidus. The halacha is like Hananiah. And therefore, by all means, follow Hananiah. Now, the Tor quotes from the Rush as saying the Rush is Matir, as being Makel on the Shaila. So the Drisha, it's Oschas, says Mechatesi, right? Mechatesi. Because this Lashon of Hanach Lahem sounds like really you should be Machmir, not Makel. So the Drisha explains it's because that very Gemara over there says, you know, it's totally in the minhag makom, right? In places where the minhag is to be machmir, you should be machmir. In places where you should be mako, you should be mako. So what is that? So the Drisha is basically saying that's the conclusion of the Gemara. The conclusion of the Gemara is you follow minhag makom. And that's what the Rush means. The Rush says, ah, so since the minhag is to be mako, that's what the Rush says, everybody's mako. Right, the minhag is to be mekel. So that's why the halacha is lakula. In other words, how did the Tor know from the Rush that he was matir? Because the Rush said that the minhag is to be mekel, and the Gemara said, you follow minhag makom. So memela, the Rush is basically saying that where we paskin lohakel. Now, agav, it's interesting because that Ritva that I quoted before says, no, from the fact that the Gemara says that it's tali in a minhag, that shows really it's mutter. In other words, when the Gemara says something is totally in the minhag, right? If the minhag is to be machmir, then you should be machmir. In the places where the minhag is to be machmir, you should be machmir. In the places where the minhag is to be mekel, you should be mekel. So the Ritva says, what does that mean? That means it's mutter. Because if it was aser, then you don't follow the minhag makom. It's aser. Elamai, if the Gemara is telling you follow the minhag makom, what the Gemara is saying is, mikra dinis is mutter, but there are makomo shenagu bo iser. And there's a principle. The principle is that makom shenagu bo iser, you have to be machmir b'taras chumra, taras minhag, but not bedin. That's the way the Ritva is reading that Gemara. The Ritva is reading the Gemara, the fact that the Gemara says, follow the minhag, the Gemara is basically saying, it's mutter, medina, but if you live in a place where the minhag is to be machmir, then you have to follow minhag makom al minhag, al chumra. Whereas the way the Drisha slash Rush is reading the Gemara is different. The Gemara is saying, how do you paskin? I don't know. Follow minhag. In other words, when the Gemara tells you follow minhag, that's not the pshat that we paskin lahakel, but some places they're nagu lahachmir. No, it's begader. There's no psak. There's no achra. If there's no achra, what do? You follow minhag. And that's the way the Rush is understood by the Drisha and the Torah, that's what the Rosh is concluding. The Rosh is concluding, is there a concrete psak? No. So what do? You follow Minhag. You follow Minhag. It's sort of undecided, and therefore you follow Minhag.
It's also Mitam Minhag.
So, I don't know. I'm not sure if that's the pshat. That's certainly what the Ritva says. I don't think that's
what... How do one say, what does that mean? Minhag is not Kobe Halacha.
So, it's an interesting Shaila. I think the answer is that the halacha is not nikba, and therefore, when there is no lamashal, this is a broader question. That's why I think it's very interesting, right? When you know Ashkenazim are machmir, let's imagine that. It's hard to imagine, and Sfardim are mekel, right? So it's a shaila in halacha, right? Obviously, it's something aser mutter. It's not a shaila in minhag. But what should you do practically? What we tell a person to do? Follow minhag. In other words, if you live in an Ashkenazi country, then you have to be machmir. And if you live in a Sephardi country, then you could be mekel. And it's not, when you're machmir in the Ashkenazi countries, it's not because you think this is mutter, but there's a minhag to be machmir. It's because
it's us. You're rebbeim.
Correct.
There are mazmai rebbeim mava.
Yes. Exactly correct. And I think that is the way the Drisha is reading the Rosh about the Shaila and the Gemara. In other words, makom, kol makom she halacha rofefes biyadecha, halacha achar minag. So that's not just true in terms of being koveya everywhere. In other words, where there's a minag universally, then you know that's going to be what the halacha is. But rather, the pshat is, since if you live in town X, right? And town X, the Rabbanim, there's a minhag. It's a minhag, not just a amaratzistik a minhag, but it was a minhag that was nisiasi al pi gdolim. So the gdolim in that town were machriya, whatever the minhag was, that this is mutter, right? And the gdolim in the other towns, where they were machmir, like the Rabbanan in this case, were machriya like the Rabbanan. The gdolim in the towns that are Meka like Hananiah, or Machriya like Hananiah. And you, living in this town, should follow the Gdolim of that town, and the Gdolim of the town, towns that were lenient, were Machriya like Hananiah. Right? That's the conclusion of the Gemara Gufa. And therefore, the Rosh says, since the Minhag by now in the Velt is Lahakel, so therefore, Lamaisa, it's Mutter. That's what, again, I think that's the way, the Rosh itself is very unclear, but I think that's the way the Drisha is reading the Rosh. That's the way the Drisha is reading the Rosh. So Lamaisa, what do we pass him like? So the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Aleph of Reshim Gimel brings down both opinions. He's not Machriya, though you might get the impression that he's being Machmir because he quotes Hananiah's opinion as a Yesh Omrim. The Ramah, though, Meforish Paskin Zlahakel. We should note, though, that even within the opinion of the Mechaber for Sfardim, there is a Machlokas HaPoskim. There are a number of Poskim who hold that the Shulchan Aruch is Machriya L'Hachkel. The Minchas Kohen says this. The Kaf HaChaim says this. If you want to see the Kaf HaChaim, it's Reishon and Gimel, Sifkat and Chav Gimel. Others say, no, Adarabba, the Mechaber is Machriya L'Hachmir. But certainly, for Ashkenazim, l'chora, it should be mutter to put something on a fire as long as, even though it's not garf katam, the fire is open, not covered, as long as it's higia l'machal ben drusai. That's what you'd think when you read the Ramah. But when you get to Bir Halacha, it says, yeah, you should really be machmir shalo b'shas adchak. Why? Well, it's sort of motivating the Bir Halacha. It's going back to that rush. Because since the and really try to understand, what does Hanach Lahem mean in the Rosh? Hanach Lahem is such a strange line. Hanach Lahem could mean Hanach Lahem Mutar Shishokim Lahem Yizidim. Hanach Lahem could be Hanach Lahem Im Enim Neviim B'nei Neviim Heim. Right? Hanach Lahem could be, really you should be Machmir, but we won't yell at the people who are Mekel. Or Hanach Lahem could mean, Klal Yisrael, the fact that everybody's doing this, that shows clearly it's Mutar. There's a great line in the Aruch HaShulchan. It's nothing to do with this topic, but it's talking about the great debate in the Rishonim about what's considered Rishus HaRabim. Half the Rishonim don't hold to this 600,000 idea. The Rambam, for example. And half the Rishonim hold to this 600,000 idea. Whatever that means, it's a different question, but that you need 600,000 Rishus HaRabim, Rashi Tita. So, the Bir Halacha over there says, you know, half the Rishonim are Machmir, really, it's not right to be Mako. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, everybody's Mekel, it's Ki'ilu Yatza Baskol Min HaShemayim, and said, Halacha Kirashi. It's true we couldn't be Machriya in terms of Svaros or Shitos or the like Rashi, but the Velta's Mekel. So that shows that we Paskin like Rashi. So, in a certain sense, over here you actually see the Aruch HaShulchan and the Bir Halacha taking the same roles. Here the stakes are much lower, obviously, because we're not dealing with a Deraisa Shaila. But anyway, so the Bir Halacha, based off of that Mashma'os in the Rush, which he sees as very, very hesitant at best, tells you that really, even though the Ramah's Meku, and maybe Mikra Dinitz Mutter, you should try to be Machmir. Now, you know, the difficulty with this reading is that, you know, what is the Rush talking about, like, when he adds this point of, you know, Klal Yisrael are Adukim in Oneg Shabbos? I guess you could say that's, like, again, a Shtikl Limud Tzchus. But it's certainly not the impression that you got from the Ramah, right? The Ramah writes, very simply, that the Minhag is to be Mekel. He doesn't have any hesitancy. And he's so same L'Hakel. So maybe that would be more like Hanach Lehem Emenim Neviim B'nei Neviim, more along the lines of the Drisha like we saw. What about this din of Adukim Bilcha Shabbos? So I couldn't resist. There's a great poem of the Baal HaMor. If you saw the Baal HaMor at the beginning of this parak, so needless to say, he's challenging the Rif, who paskins like the Rabbanan, Baal HaMor paskins like Hananiah, though, as we mentioned, he had his own twists. But he has, at the end of his whole piece, he has a great poem. I'll read you just the last couple lines. V'yesh omrim ki takanas rabosenu hi la'aneges ha-shabes b'chamin. V'chol mi she'enu ochal chamin tzarech b'dika acharav imumin. V'emeis yis'askebo amamin. U'lahazmin levashel lahatmin u'laneges ha-shabes u'lahashmin hu amamin. If you get fat on Shabbos, you are a true maimin. It goes on and on. It's a great poem, all about how you know they made this takana la'anegas haShabbos b'chamin, and if you're like the Rush says, Klal Yisrael are adukin v'aneg Shabbos, and if you're machmir and you're omel asmal shehu yamin, then you know don't call the chaver kedisha. So, anyhow, the Chazon Ish also disagrees with this Chumrah of the Bir Halacha, B'nei Yisrael Yotzen B'yad Ramah. Here. I don't know, 7 Lama Tess. It's all where it belongs. You could look at the star on the next to the Bir Halacha. I'm not going to back. If you want, I could tell you. I shouldn't be so... So defective. Lamed Zion Tess. Look, Lamed, you know, yeah. Okay. So he says a little different twist. He writes Hanach Lehem means Hanach Lehem she yismochu al das rabosenu hamekilim. But it's the same idea, right? Hanach Lehem, that to follow those Rishonim who are Mekel, and they have upon whom to rely, and that's the Halacha. And then he says that, you know, even to be Machmir is inappropriate, because Lemaisa, the Gaonim were at Machmir La'atzmam, right? Remember, that's actually exactly how the Ritva read the Gemara. The Ritva read the Gemara. The Gemara said the halach like Hananiah, and then the Gemara asked Lahashos, which is saying, is there Midas Chasidus? And the Gemara concludes, no, there's no Midas Chasidus, because look at these Amoraim who themselves were Mekel, right? So it's not even appropriate to be Machmir. Right? You thought the Chazon Ish was only a kula, right? Finally, a kula from the Chazon Ish. But it's a chumra also, because it's usher to be mekel. Okay. Sorry, it's usher to be machmir. Thank you. Okay, good. Good. So that is that's sort of the question of how do we paskin like? Lemaisa, you know, I do think that the Velt does tend to follow the Mishnah Berurah's position here. But I don't think you have to follow like the Chazon Ish's tzad that it's wrong to be machmir. I think it's okay to be machmir. But definitely, I think you can make a very strong case to be mekel. And the Lysa, the Mishnah Berurah himself points out that Mikra Adin, even he's mekel. So if you have some extra Shabbos guests that show up on Shabbos afternoon, or your wife has a panic because there's not enough food for lunch, so you want to add a bunch of food to bolster your chalent or something like that, and it's not keder chaisa because let's say it's already started to cook on Erev Shabbos, but Friday. It's certainly not Friday afternoon. Yeah, sorry. And but it's not enough to get cooked. It's enough. It's machal ben drusai at the beginning of Shabbos. Then it's okay. You don't own a blech. You don't have to worry about it. Mikra adin, certainly Ashkenazim could be mekel. I think a lot of the Velt is machmir. I think even that like a little bit new, meaning to say there are lots of people who make chalent. I don't know if it reaches Mefushal Kol Tarko at the beginning of Shabbos, and they don't try to put a blech on their crock pot. Talk about what that is and if you could do it even. So certainly, anyone who wishes to be mekel could be mekel, but if someone wants to be machmir, like the Bi'ur Halacha, we don't have hoshi for the Baal Mor. As we paskin that if it's machal ben drusai, you don't need garva katan. Even if it's mitzvah v'yafalot.
I'm trying to say that the minig is being machmir for the Shulchan Aruch, and then for this.
No, I was wondering if
for the Rambam. What would the Rambam say about Shulchan? Wouldn't he say it's usher?
Yeah. No. I agree. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying even the minig. I said many people are trying to be machmir on the Shaila nowadays, but I'm just.
They're chunk. What do they do about their chunk?
No, many people now use blechs on their crackpots. It's very common now. That's also because people like to do chazara. That's also in the modern shazach, this Friday night challenge business. But we'll get to it.
You want to be mekayem the words of the Baal Mor.
Yeah, you want to get fat.
So. I think Rabbi Jagger once told us that you called Rabbi Woolig once on an Erev Shabbos, and Rabbi Woolig asked one of his kids, try the challenge, see if it's edible or something like that. And so Rabbi Woolig was doing so many chan.
The Pashup shot is that the Ramah is Mekel, and you don't have to be more Machmer than the Ramah. You could follow the minimum. Yeah. Okay, good. Yes?
Where do we even see the Shita of the Ravana? Meaning, it's not the Mishnah. It could be sort of Meir.
Well, it's a simple reading of our Mishnah. So you see it. You're right. It's a little more complex because, whether Ramah and Rabbi Yehuda, they certainly don't hold Hananiah, whether they're the Rabbanan either or not. Right, that's a complex issue, as Tysus addresses. But the Rabbanan is the author of our Mishnah. It's not Hananiah.
As far as the Chumrah is, that's Roiv against Hananiah. So then,
the fact that the Gemara calls it Chachamim,
what is the Gemara called?
Doesn't call it the Rabbanan?
No, I'm not correct yet. Is it Hananiah? What does it say it's Rabbanan?
Okay.
I missed something, but I couldn't find where it said it's the Rabbanan.
Okay, I have to check. I don't remember offhand. Okay, good. The Rishonim certainly assumed that way. Next question is, what does Garf Kata mean? So obviously, Garf Kata is important for the Rabbanan. I can't say that anymore now, but I'm going to say it anyway. The Rabbanan, even after Machal Ben Drusai and for Hananiah, Kodem Machal Ben Drusai, even that actually isn't so pashut. Does Garf Katam work Pachos Machal Ben Drusai? It's going to be a big machlokas rishonim and poskim and the like. So we'll actually get back to that. But garfa katam is relevant, let's say, even for Hanania with respect to Chazara, certainly, and maybe also pachos mimachal ben drusai according to the Shulchan Aruch. So what does garfa katam mean, and why does it help? So Rashi on the Mishnah, Lami Vavam Beis, says, Achitin Sa'efer al gabi gechalim l'chasosam ulitzaninam. So here we're talking about ketima. Ketima is okay because it cools down the coals. Right, that's the goal of ketima, to cool down the coals. Now the truth is, that might be Rashi Lishitaso, that he thinks that the Isser in the Mishnah anyway is one of Hatmana, and therefore the reason for ketima's effectiveness is because now it's no longer Mosif Havel. So maybe you can't bring much of a raya from Rashi. But regardless, that is actually what the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch both write. Over here in Sif Aleph, that the reason is because it's Memayit Es HaChol. Now, yes?
It's like a factual clarification. When you cook down the coals, like in the oven, like in, I guess there are times, does that mean now that there's no more heat in the oven?
No, it's cold? Still very hot, and Adraba, you know, it's capable.
So how does that move the pedal anymore?
So that's a good question. I think that this goes back to the point that we said in Rashi, which is that even Rashi is mechalek between true hatmana and this type of quasi-hatmana, and quasi-hatmana is more kal. And that's why it's, even though it temperature-wise, it probably is Mosif Havel. And not only that, but the Gemara even says that Kitma V'Hovara retains the status of Ketima, even though it's now sort of back to where it was. And Rashi does think that the Isser Shehiyah is Alts Hatmana, but that doesn't mean Shehiyah and Hatmana are identical, and because it's not actually enveloped, it's not actually Mutman, it's more Kal. So I don't think Rashi means to say that it's not Mosif Hevel at all, and that the reason why it's Mutter is because it's cooler. That's what I was alluding to before, that even Rashi is not as far from all the other Rishonim as might seem at first glance. Anyway, so as I said, the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch over here both mention that that Ketima reduces the heat. And that's obviously going to be a very important question because we'll get back to this a little later, but just to sort of raise the issue, the common type of Ketima that we do for our stoves nowadays, the blech, is probably doesn't reduce heat very much at all. Maybe slightly it does. It does diffuse the heat a little bit. But let's say the blechs that are commonly done, let's say, on crock pots or chalent pots where people use like a piece of aluminum foil, maybe there's a negligible reduction in heat. I'm not even sure if there's that, but there's certainly not very much. So we'll need to think about if those types of tikkunim are going to be effective. But as I said, the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur both mention a reduction of heat. Now, again, why reducing heat? It's obvious why that would be relevant for Rashi, because Rashi thinks this relates to Hatmana. But the Tur, let's say, the Shulchan Aruch, certainly don't accept that Shehiyah has to do with Hatmana. It's a separate gzeira. So why is it that reducing the heat is relevant over here? So the answer, presumably, is because your megala das is a lashon that Rashi himself uses and many Rishonim use, delo nichale bichtuye. In other words, you are not so makbid about getting maximal heat here. Veharaya, you didn't act to reduce the heat. And therefore, we're not concerned that you're going to stoke the coals, because who's going to stoke the coals? Someone who is really needs maximal heat and is very nervous, and we're afraid that they're going to go and they're going to see, whoa, this isn't hot enough, and they're going to go and stoke the coals to get maximal heat. Well, since you did an action that showed that you're disinterested in maximal heat. You actually reduce the heat, even if it's still quite hot. It's still capable of coals, even after you do ketima, right? If you ever made a barbecue, they're very hot for a very long period of time, even if you're coating the coals. But it does reduce the heat, and that act is megaladas, that you are not so interested in maximizing your heat, and that therefore takes away the chashash of chitoy. Now, what's interesting is that a number of Rishonim do hold, among them the Shita L'Ran, and the Ran himself, the Baal HaMor. The Ran quotes in Beis Yosef, it's on page Nundalad in my edition, all write that you actually don't need Ketima Gemura. It's enough to have Ketima Kol Shehu. And the truth is, the Gemara really sounds that way, because the Gemara talks about on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph that Ne'orah Shel Pishtan Daka is considered Ketima, and presumably that's really a Ketima Kol Dehu. It's not going to have a major effect by sprinkling some Pishtan on top of your coals.
What's
it Katma of the Huvara is also another example, perhaps. So L'chora, this does sound like maybe all those Rishonim disagree with this idea in Rashi, the Shulchan Aruch, the Tur, that you need to be Mimai Tachom, right? Because they say Ketima Kol Dehu is enough. You know, maybe that's the idea of that aluminum foil on your crock pot. So this might lead one to make the following case. Maybe I'll say, according to Rashi and Atur, the idea of Ketima is Mirachom. And let's say, according to the Ran and the Baal HaMor and others, the reason is because of some type of hecker. It's a hecker. And therefore, if it's a hecker, it's a reminder to remind you not to stoke the coals. You just do this ketima kol shehu, you sprinkle some pishtan, you put a piece of aluminum foil on top of the flame, something like that. That's a reminder. And maybe that's the machlokas. Now, I don't think that's correct, for a number of reasons. For one, is because the Beis Yosef doesn't actually quote Cholkem, anyone who disagrees with the idea that Ketima Kol Shehu works. And at the same time, you know, he paskins in the Shulchan Aruch that you need to be Mimai Tesachom. So the answer is that Ketima Kol Shehu is Mimai Tesachom. Very little, right? Not a large amount, but even a small reduction in chom is a gilui das. And that's exactly what the Ran says. He writes, the Shita L'Ran writes, that the reason why it works is de gali adaite de lo nichale b'chamimus hakdeira v'lo asi lechtuye. And they don't use a lashon of heker as in a reminder. Rather, they use the lashon of a heker that it's ikha keira shemisalik daito melachtos. It's mulchach from your actions that you were mesalek daito melachtos, that you're not interested in maximal temperature. In other words, this, and if you look at the Ran, again, I know that that a lot of Sfarim write, you know, the Ran says heker, and again, they make this into a machlokas between the Ran versus the Tur, or things like that, heker. I don't think that's correct. And they don't use hecker necessarily as a hecker. There's a hekera shemesalik daito melachtos. If you look at the Magen Avraham in Sif Gimel, for example, Sifkan Gimel, he makes this point. So you have to be careful with the word hecker. Hecker could mean two things. Hecker could mean like a reminder, or again, like I think the way the Rishonim are using it here, It's a hekera shemesalek daitum lachtos. It's a evidence of your mindset, as opposed to a heker as a reminder. Are there any Rishonim that do use heker as a reminder? So you see this in the Perusha Mishnayis LaRambam, which the Beis Yosef quotes. The Rambam writes in this Perusha Mishnayis. It's quoted on page Nun Dalet, going on to Nun Hei in the Beis Yosef. So first he says why Ever Chai works. Ever chai works to kevin shasam maisam alchiach shemesiach daitu mimana midkar velasi lachtuyeh. Dumya desha, right, so if you throw in like a raw piece of food right before Shabbos, you did a maisam alchiach shemesiach daitu midkar velasi lachtuyeh. Dumya deshari lisho savabi kirak tuma visagi biktima kol dehu. Mishim dekevan de avid bahakera midkarle velo asi lechtuye. So that does sound like a lashon of a hacker. You did this hacker. Now, what's very important you see from this lashon, and you see this from all the other formulations of the Rambam, is that even though it's a hacker, but it's not a random hacker. In other words, I can't go ahead and tie a red string around my finger to remind me to not be machat v'chalam, or I'll do even better. I'm going to go ahead and I'll put a giant sign, you know, in front of my stove. Don't be mechate. None of that will work. We're not talking about a stam hacker. Rather, what we need is evidence that you're Mesiach Das, and doing something that shows you're Mesiach Das is itself the hacker. In other words, the hacker is that you did the maisa, that's your Mesiach Das. And that's what you see in the Rambam, for example, in the Mishnah Torah, Per Gimel Halacha Hey and Vav. He writes that the reason why Garfa Katam doesn't work in a Tanur is because since its temperature is so hot, the act of grief of Iktima is not evidence that you're Mesiach Das. Right? So you need a hacker that shows your Mesiach Das. And when you have a hacker that shows your Mesiach Das, Milachtos, then that will remind you not to be Mechata. That's the view of the Rambam. And that might also be what the Ran holds as well, though it's not explicit. So far, just one second, we have two Mahalchim in Rishonim so far. We have option one is reduction of heat. Option two is hacker of some sort. There is a third mahalich. If you look back at that Tosas at the beginning of Bemet Tomnin that I cited before, Ben Gimel on the base, he writes that the reason why you could do Shir and Garfa Katam is because she'en chitui ma'at moilo. Meaning to say, once you've done chitui, grief of Iktima, so then chitoy is not very effective. So it's much more than just a hacker, and it's perhaps more than even gilui das as to your intention, but it actually is much more practical. It makes chitoy ineffective, or largely ineffective, very, very practical. Right? So if we have three shitos, we have Tosa says that Garfakatam is matir because it makes chitoy ineffective, and that's why, for example, it doesn't work in an oven where you could still do chitoy apparently after grief Iktima. We have the approach that says it's a gili dasha mesiach da'at mimenu, and then we have the approach that it's a hacker, let's say the Pesh Mishnayis. Now, according to Rashi, as we said, it's understandable why Garfa Katam works to be matir hatmana. The Ran disagrees with Rashi. He asers hatmana even though it's Garfa Katam. Why don't we say that your Megala does? In other words, remember, what did the Ran say? Why does grief Iktima work? Your Megala daito lo nichale b'chamihusa kulei hai, right? So, and that solves the problem of Gzeir Shamichata. So I'll ask you a question. Why was Hatmana Aser also Gzeir Shamichata? So Garfa Katam should work for Hatmana as well. Again, Rashi says it does. Great. But Ran doesn't accept Rashi, so why doesn't it work for Atman as well? So the Beis Yosef, the Ran answers, not the Hagos Maimani answers, quoted by the Beis Yosef, it's on page 9 test, he says, because there you're doing an action that's so serious, your other action. In other words, on the one hand, I'm doing grief of Ktima, okay? I'm showing I'm not so interested in Chitoy, right? And then I do this Hatmana. I envelop it and wrap it around in a light, which shows I really, really, really want this to stay very hot, right? So because you're sort of undermining the grief of Iktima, you're showing that you are interested in the heat. So you can't really say gali daite de lo nichale kulei hai. And that's why grifa victima won't work for hatmana. I just want to make one last point, then I have to go. The Rambam writes, we've really been talking about ketima, right? What about grifa? So the Rambam writes, Gimel Vav, as well as other Rishonim, that you need to take out all the gechalim. The Baal HaMor says, why, if you're right, you're taking out all the coals, so then why is it Asar Netanur? So the Rishonim answer must be that even though the Rambam says you took out all the coals, it doesn't mean mamish all. There must be, you know, some that are going to remain. But the Baal HaMor says, therefore, we're talking about Gorif Esha Gechalim Litzad Echad. And why does that work? The same type of svara. Now, it's interesting that, I'm sorry?
What's the
svara? The Mechaber paskins that you need to be mitzah to remove all the gechalim. So it's sort of interesting because on the one hand, we paskin, at least the Magen Avraham paskins, that ketima kol shehu is enough. On the other hand, we paskin, the Mechaber paskins, and we accept that you need, when it comes to grifa, you need to do all of the grifa. You can't just do what the Baal HaMor says, move it over to the side. I imagine the logic of that is that because grifa b'miktsas is not nicker at all. All right. One minor point, last point really, which is the Gemara in Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph says that Gechalim she'imim war kekatum, and that's important because here you didn't do anything at all. They sort of just they were kotim themselves, which is interesting because if you were to say you need a hacker or gali daite, it's very surprising that this would be true. In other words, if you learn like Rashi, so fine, I'll say it's not Mosef Hevel, right? The temperature is very low, relatively low. But according to everyone else that you need this Gili Das, where is the Gili Das? But the answer is that using coals of this sort, there is a Gili Das. That's what the Rambam writes in Gimel Dalet, that even here too, it shows your Mesiach Das Melachtos. Okay. We'll pick up here, Be'ezras Hashem, next time.
Which is Monday?